Live from the Bill's famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our time, helping us to produce the show, looking up any pertinent information we might need, he is the Poet Laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. He is Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kempf, and bellied up to the bar, a man who wants to be your lover boy, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Go on and tell us about Loverboy. Real quick.
One of my favorite bands of all time.
I got to set the stage for you. You are wearing your famous lion head gold chain.
Yes.
But an addition tonight is the matching lion ring.
Oh, yeah.
Gold ring on your finger.
That is for the Euro Cup, Copa America.
So Euro Cup, every 4 years you break out the...
When Spain plays, I am ready.
And what's the other shiny thing on the other hand?
Well, that's just a wedding ring.
Oh.
Boom.
Boring.
And speaking of lover boy, I do have a new drink. And it is called Lover Boy. Any Bravo fans out there know about Lover Boy?
I'm sure we're loaded with Bravo.
There's a huge crossover in the people that listen to our show and that watch Bravo reality television.
I am a reality psycho. My wife got me into that. But, yes, I have a Lover Boy makes a great drink. This one is a mango pear. And it's really good.
Where do you find those at?
You have to get them at Total Wine. You can't get them around. They're around the country a little bit different. But not as good as High Noon. High Noon just can't be touched. I'm sorry when it comes to all that stuff.
We got to be close to a sponsorship from them.
But I do have my Spain.
I feel like Loverboy may be easier to get on.
I'm feeling Travis has his Indy 500 retro shirt on, which I love. Who won that year, Travis?
I don't even know what year I'm wearing.
I think it's
1988. Let's
see.
I love the Dodgers won that year.
1987.
Oh, that's right.
Oral Hershiser.
Yes.
Oh, man. Hang on. 1987 is Big Al. 1989 is Emerson Fittipaldi. 1988 is...
Kirk Gibson.
Is... Oh, my God. 1988 is...
Jody's fingers are flying over there, dude.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come on. I know this. It's... I'm having a brain freeze here. 1988. I got 1990 is Ari Lyndyke. 1988, Rick Mears.
Rick Mears.
Rick Mears.
Five-time winner, right?
Four.
Four-time winner. And
nobody's ever won it five times.
And Tuna has his, is that Louisville Cardinals champs?
That's
champs
a,
of what?
Fiesta Bowl championship.
Oh, you son of a...
Who'd they beat in that Fiesta Bowl?
We got a guest here, Scotty B, and he is a Bama man. We are doubled up Bama fans down here tonight, and I don't think either one of us liked that shirt because, quite frankly, the night I became a Bama fan, our buddy Scott here gave me my first Bama shirt. My parents were out of town in Florida. We had a big party.
Shocking.
It was busted.
Shocking but, again.
But and he kills me because he knows my memory. But I had bets on Bama We both did, and we lost in that game. We got slaughtered.
If anything, you owe us a big thank you because you won the championship the following year, and there's no way to go into a off season like pissed off getting drugged by a lesser Louisville team.
True.
So that team came focused the following year.
Kudos
so,
to Brownie
So part
Nagle.
Of that championship belongs to us,
right.
I feel like.
And Schnellenberger. Yes. Kudos to those two guys. And I didn't even know that they made a shirt back then, and I'm surprised it still fits you.
Well, this isn't wasn't made back then.
Oh, yes. So you had it made just for us. Okay.
Yeah. No, no, no.
So all the displeasure we get from you being a Bama fan, it's actually his fault.
That's right. It is.
This is.
When you going back home?
Folks at home field.
I did. He had Daniel Moore prints all over his room and talked about Bama and everything. I'm like, what's so big about Bama? And then once I put the shirt on and we lost, I went up to UK, started following them. That's when the SEC kind of opened up with the SEC championship was huge then against Florida. We beat Florida, and the rest is history. I started going to games, and it was a blast. So that's kind of ironic.
Well, there's your trip down memory lane.
Yeah, everybody drink. Benders. We have said Bama already.
I want to remind everybody, we are on social media, on Twitter, at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar. The numbers are keep increasing week to week. We very much appreciate that, but I do always want to remind people, if you have the opportunity to download the show rather than just listen to it, every download helps us. Also, if you have the ability to leave a review or give us a follow on your streaming platform of choice, we would very much appreciate that as well. Right off the top, I mean, the elephant in the room.
Two of them here today.
That is true. That is true.
Two pachyderms.
Is the fact that the U.S. Open played at Pinehurst number 2 was this weekend. As avid followers of our show will know that I have picked Rory McIlroy, I believe, to win every major since the start of our podcast, some 80 some odd episodes ago. And this weekend with two holes to go, it looked, very plausible that my prediction was finally going to come through. Not only did I pick him on this particular program, I had a decent amount of money on him to win the tournament. I was black catted because Tuna sent a message about having Bryson DeChambeau and said Rory needs to get out of here.
Go away. Was the exact words.
Okay, which I completely blame you for the...
I will gladly take that blame.
For the meltdown at the end of the tournament.
I'm sorry that you lost money, but watching that was... Well, I enjoyed it.
Well, I was just going to go ahead and open it up to you. Not first before we get to the finish. Before we get to the finish. I want to get you guys' thoughts on a tournament that is... And we had discussed this coming into the tournament, and anybody that follows golf knows the U.S. Open is not like the other majors. The U.S. Open is almost a, I wouldn't say a different sport, but the way that the courses are set up, the difficulty that the courses are set up with are something that you don't see not only week to week in tournament golf, but as majors go, I mean, we just had the PGA here on a course that most people would say was relatively player friendly. Pinehurst number 2 is not relatively player friendly. And I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on, first of all, do you enjoy that type of golf, Tuna?
No, I absolutely hate it. I think it's terrible. For 4 days, it's tough to watch. But Sunday, when you have the theatrics, I really enjoy it. Like a tournament like the PGA Championship, where everybody, like I said, all the golf nerds hate that stuff. I enjoyed watching that from day to day because you could have a guy just like jump out and have like an amazing 8-under day.
Yeah, shooting 60.
Yeah, for sure. And get up in there. But it's – this was – watching the U.S. Open for four straight days is like pulling teeth, man. It's tough to watch. And you just see it just kick the shit out of some of these guys that are just, you know, great clutch golfers, man. Scotty got worked left and right. Like, some of these top guys were just getting frustrated. They couldn't figure the course out. They just absolutely could not figure it out from start to finish.
It's never a positive when they're talking. By the time we get to Sunday, the leader at minus six is probably going to win at minus two.
But to be fair to the USGA this year, and it has in the past gotten away from the USGA, where the course becomes, I thought, obviously, it was extremely difficult, but I don't think it ever tipped over into the unfair, unplayable category. They try to stride that line the best that they can to make it all, as tough as they possibly can without making it unfair. And I thought that they did a pretty good job of that this year.
They got a lot of love from everybody. I know that.
I think the roughs were too bad at all. Like, you've seen a lot of great shots coming out, you know, from the sides. But
so
the greens, I think, were the biggest problem that people had.
They took the rough, quote unquote, out of that course and replaced it with what they kept calling the native areas, which I thought was fascinating because people would hit it over there. And it's just like a big sand waste area like they have up at Whistling Straits, only they have that spider grass.
Yeah, spider bushes
growing in there.
Caught behind. And
the ball could be sitting up on top of one of those, and you could absolutely get it. Or it could be right behind it.
And you've seen how it affected the shot.
Yeah.
Like the way that the club would hit that, like how it would send that ball left or right. It was wild to see.
I think it's cool. I love it for one tournament a year. I love it one tournament a year.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't want to see it week to week. I would rather see, you know, the John Deere Classic. I'd like to see somebody go 24 under over 4 days.
I think it's fun to watch someone like DeChambeau just attack it like a freaking great white shark.
But he also played.
Oh, he did.
Man, he was all over the place.
He was very creative, but when he's driving some of those holes, he's going for it. Doesn't matter where it's going.
I mean, he was left and right all over the place.
Like, I thought one of the announcers, forgive me for not remembering who it was, but Bryson pulled out driver on like whatever hole that was, 14, 15 on Sunday. And the announcer was like, I just think that's a silly play. And then he hit it. And hit it perfect. And
he goes smiling.
He goes, actually, it wasn't silly because he knew he could do it.
I think his words were, that's insane, when he pulled that out.
Well, I think what we've seen here, man, is like a lot of these golfers were reserved because they're trying to hit a spot on the green the size of a hula hoop. Because if they don't hit that spot.
Right.
So they were scared to make shots. You've seen a lot of reluctancy that you don't normally see from these guys. And that's one thing that Bryson kind of did. He didn't care. He was going for it no matter what. And I think that kind of stood out a little different.
Did you all see the interview? You know his irons? Nobody else carries irons like he does. They have like – it's like your drivers. It's like your woods. They have like a rounded face to them. They're not flat. Nobody else has that.
He changed his driver out on that last day because he said it was a flattened head because and, like where it's rounded was flattened out.
And all his clubs are the same length. All his clubs are the same length.
I thought he broke his driver before.
No, on the driving range right before he realized that the head had been flattened. And so he was like, okay, something's a little off, and then he noticed that it was flat, and so he changed his club head out that day, or that right before he played. So
why is
Jack Nicklaus is at the hockey game?
Why is Jack Nicklaus a Florida Panthers fan?
He probably lives in Fort Lauderdale, doesn't he?
He's from Columbus, Ohio. I thought he would be a...
Nobody cares about the Blue Jackets. That live in Columbus. Like, they're like, what is this?
I guess that's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, how long have they been up there in Columbus? Like, Blue Jackets only been up there for what? Maybe 10 years?
That may be the least confident I've ever seen Jack Nicklaus look trying to hit that drum.
He wasn't quite sure what to do with that drum, I don't think. But, yeah, that was kind of cool. But anyway, so we got through that part of it. Now let's get to the painful part of the weekend, which was...
Painful depends on... Yeah, well, it's debatable.
It was painful to me, too. I mean,
I'm with you.
Have a little empathy.
I feel bad that you lost money, but...
And that he happens to be my favorite golfer.
No, you don't. Retract that statement. No, you don't.
Lost money. I do. I really do. I feel bad that your favorite golfer lost. But with me, we all know he's one of my least favorite golfers. And watching the collapse,
I kind of
enjoyed it. At least he handled it with grace. I don't want to beat on Rory too much, but
there's no beating on him. He definitely should have had his. He should have talked to the media after.
I don't care about talking to the media.
I don't either.
I think you should talk to the media.
If I just blew the U.S. Open, I wouldn't talk to the media either. I'd tell him to shove it.
Okay.
Like,
I think you should.
Like, I mean, Brooks didn't talk to the media.
What's he going to say?
Yeah.
What he's going to say.
They're going to ask stupid questions. He's going to have to give stupid answers. And
that's just what you do.
What he
as
did.
As a professional.
What he did, I think.
Got to face the heat.
That made a lot of sense was. He let it, you know, cool down for 24 hours and then made a statement. And he'll give an interview to somebody and you'll get the information you need. Maybe not. Now, maybe people wanted to hear in the heat of the moment, like, how did you miss that 2-foot 9-inch putt on 18? And I got it. And maybe it's just me being a eternal pessimist. But when he stood over that putt, my thought process was, he's absolutely missing this. And he doesn't miss putts like that.
The fact that he missed one, what was it, 3 holes before that?
Well, that's the one. Yeah, it's been analyzed that the 18th hole putt was a downhill to the right, left, right of the cup. Not necessarily an easy putt.
It had a lot.
The one before it, the 3 holes before, was a choker. Mm-hmm.
Well, he missed 3 inside 5 feet in the last 4 holes.
I'm saying, when you've done that, that's in the back of your mind when you're making that last one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But so it's not just the putts that he missed. He bogeyed the last 3 holes.
I know.
I mean, that's where it all comes down to play. So there are other issues, decisions that he made that were not correct. And, you know, I don't know, man. I know his caddy and him been together for years, but I don't know. It seems like he hit the wrong clubs a few times on that back nine.
I think guys were doing that all weekend,
But
though. Like
that's what the U.S.
Earlier.
Open does to you. I get it. I get it. I'm not blaming it on his caddy.
Yeah, don't make me take
but,
it for this guy.
But his caddy also, what a lot of people say, his caddy is also – just like his best buddy.
Right. And he's a scratch golfer.
Who they say isn't forceful enough with him from time to time and go, hey, man, this probably isn't the right club to hit or not the right shot to hit.
Right.
Like he just kind of.
Well, yeah, he's a mean little man. He'll just yell at him and probably fire him. So
Rory?
Yes.
Rory's not
mean. He's a mean little man.
I don't think he's
mean. Mean little man.
But he may be – you think he's getting divorced again?
Not for 6 months.
I don't think he's
according to
leave.
His team.
But, dude, let's talk about what DeChambeau did. I just want to talk about what he did after he won. You know, I love the exuberance, the energy, the emotion. That's what everyone wants to see through the golf ball and the crowd. They didn't catch it. For God's sake, he told everyone right there on the microphone that he wanted everyone that's around the 18th hole to touch the trophy, get an autograph. And by God, if I didn't watch live at the U.S. Open that night, he was still out there signing in the darkness, and everyone's in line to touch the trophy. Who does that?
I will tell you this. Whoever is in charge of his PR now, it has done a fantastic job of telling Bryson, look, dude, It'll be 4 hours out of your life. Just hang out 4 hours and everybody is going to love you. And he has embraced that. And I think going to live, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I read that article that said that when he was on the PGA Tour, he was such a singular guy, like never talked to anybody. All the other golfers thought he was a weird guy.
A mad scientist.
And then he got to live and was forced to be on a team and forced to hang out with other golfers. And that kind of loosened him up. And I think he kind of figured out that he enjoys that kind of thing. He is a, when he's not in brand building Bryson mode, he is a fantastic media personality. Like, I thought when him and Smiley Kaufman did that happy hour.
Who does that right after you're done with a heated round before you're getting ready to come out the next day?
Well, it's a hell of a lot easier to do when you played the way
when
that
you
he played
good. I get it, but still.
But he was
happy hour.
He was fantastic on that.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, and then I think he went to the, after he signed autographs into the night, he went, didn't he go over to the USGA or one of
yes.
the one of their houses
yeah, one
and
of
have
houses,
dinner with him with
all
his
out.
Buddies and they all the like
that's pretty cool.
I don't think there's ever been a player that's gone from being one of the most disliked people on tour to one of the most liked.
He's not married either, so he does. Put it this way: people that are married have other obligations.
I'll be honest with you, man.
With him not being married, he has obligations. You know, he's open to do things like that.
I don't think that changes opinion about like what people think about him on the course or not. I used to be the biggest Bryson hater there was. Like, I really disliked that guy. He played slow. He thought he was better than everybody else. He talked down to all the other golfers. He treated the
he thought he was smarter than everybody else.
He used
else,
to get
used
like
to
fans thrown out.
Right.
You know, like he would he would yell at fans and have them thrown out of the
No,
like,
I'm with you.
I think
I've
he just matured and like once he stepped away from the PGA and he could kind of look back at how things were and the circus that it was.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I was young and stupid and handled all of that very poorly. When I get the chance to play in front of an audience like that again, I'm going to freaking embrace it. And that's what he's doing now. He's soaking up every moment with those fans. You watch him walk through those galleries. He is high-fiving everybody.
Right.
You know, being as cool as can be with the fans. You would have never seen that from him 6 years ago.
How about on, well, not just on the 18th green, but on the 18th green specifically, when he's getting ready to line up his putt to win the Open. And he's goading the fans to make more noise.
Like, yeah.
That's a guy that was getting guys thrown out for being too loud.
Yeah.
Like, you used to remember when him and Brooks had the beef with each other?
Right.
And, like, the fans would yell Brooksy at him. He would lose his mind on the course,
would.
Like, throw a full on temper tantrum. Now, like, I feel like he laughs at that stuff. And what it started here, like, the PGA Tour. I think the Masters is when we all started warming back up to him. But the PGA Tour, when he threw the ball into the crowd. To the kid, and that grown man took it from the kid, and then Bryson just stopped and was like, hey man, give that back to the kid.
Right.
I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. And the way Bryson, you know, he finished second in that US Open, barely missed it, but like just the way that he acted after he finished second, you know, like that was a close loss. And
it's kind of refreshing too to watch some guy. It seems like every shot takes I'm sure every shot takes 100%, 110% out of every player, but he just shows it more. Like, you know when you're on the golf course and you're out there sweating it out? I mean, he is just so intense.
I think
on
it's
every shot. It's like the sweat and the. I mean, it's like his veins are popping out of his head. It's insane.
I think it's the way he holds his club. You know, he locks his arms. Mm-hmm. Nobody else does that.
Looks like
I mean,
he's mad at, even when he's putting,
he looks
man.
Like he's mad at the putter or mad at the his four iron or whatever he's holding in his hand when he goes to hit the ball.
But what a win! And ironically, he was really the first guy when he came on tour to wear anything that resembled Payne Stewart. I know that was a Puma thing, maybe, and all that, but it's still cool that he brought it with him, hung it on his bag. Had it hanging on the trophy. It was a great win for everything that happened for it all to happen at Pinehurst.
It was a Puma thing, but it was also they both went to SMU thing, and
right,
he idolized
right.
Payne Stewart. And as a matter of fact, and it probably would have been too contrived, but I thought when he hit the putt to win it on 18, I thought he might do the arm out, leg up thing. That probably would have been too contrived. But let's talk about
real quick. I want to embrace the shot that he made on 18 off the tree root.
Like, yes, that's what I was just getting to.
Okay, I thought we were going to skip past that. And that, first of all, that shot was incredible for what it was. And then to go into the bunker from that, the bunker shot on top of that.
Well, that's the shot of the tournament.
That was, I mean, how does that even happen?
To keep it where it was and where it landed is, yeah.
That blew my mind. But to hit off that root and, like, keep it
and
somewhat straight.
Not
like,
only hit off that root, I thought the toughest thing about that shot, and anybody that's listening now that plays golf at all will understand, when you're like underneath a tree or something and you're practicing your backswing, and you know that if you get it past a certain point, you're going to get into those branches. And man, how many times,
everybody knows
how
has
many,
that feeling.
How many practice swings did he take?
Oh, 500.
Where he was gauging, and even whoever the announcer was there was like, well, we all know how difficult it is to make that practice swing. And then when you're getting ready to hit it, you go, well, I need a little bit more. And you take it back a little bit, and then you hit those branches, and then the ball's going to go wherever it goes. That, like, okay, the bunker shot was fantastic. But to your point, that shot next to a root with the branches hanging down over your back, in your backswing, to even get it where he got it, to give himself a chance to make par, was unbelievable. And he absolutely deserved it. I hate it for Rory, but I'm happy for him.
And don't you know that Freddie Bender's in his bag has the ultimate club for that. And it has two angles on it has two angles on both sides, and bam, right out of there. I could have hooked it right around the left side.
Hey, Fred,
oh, wait a minute. It's illegal.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure if Bryson would have had that club in his bag, it probably is a minimum 6-shot penalty.
Whoever makes those clubs, I love them.
Thing is, he could have took that 6-shot penalty and still shot better than everyone but 7 guys.
That's right.
True.
That's right. That's right. Well, it was
looking,
I mean,
forward to the British Open.
If nothing else, it was fantastic theater. It was a wonderful end to the U.S. Open. Rory's collapse notwithstanding, it was a lot of fun to watch on television. What wasn't so fun to watch on television last night was the final game of the NBA Finals.
Congrats, Ike.
Yep. Congrats to Ike. Congrats.
Should we have had Ike on here? Maybe we should have. We'll have Ike back here for the parade.
We will have him on to do kind of a postseason debrief, a look forward to next season later on. But, I mean, the whole NBA Finals were just kind of anticlimactic. There were no real compelling games, I don't think.
The MVP? I'm trying to remember. Was
Are
it
you
Brown?
Serious?
Which one?
Brown.
Was it Brown
yeah.
or was
oh, yeah.
it?
Yeah, of course it was.
Okay. I mean, Tatum did almost have was 1 point shy from a 30-point triple-double in the game last night. So I was just I was curious if that may have moved him up a little bit.
No,
I mean, they
Brown,
won 4 games. And
Jaylen Brown deserved
Tatum
it.
Was scared to shoot in the first two. So
he was.
So,
you're right. Yeah. You're right. Jaylen Brown deserved that big time.
And Kyrie,
great role players for Boston, though.
Kyrie disappeared in most of those games. Dallas just...
What was the deal with him going and shaking everybody's hands?
I don't know.
Before, at the 2-minute mark, and then he comes back and shakes their hands after the game, and I'm like, what was that for? He got booed by everyone in the arena for doing it, But it was just something stupid that he does. It's those are the things that gets that make me somewhat sometimes dislike him.
I didn't really understand anything he did in this whole series. So I will give a shout out to the Pacers for being the only team in the entire playoffs that played the Celtics worth a shit.
Right, true.
I mean, even though they lost all four games, all four of those games could have went the other way. The Celtics appear to be primed for a nice little run here. I don't know. Let's put a bow on the NBA
season.
Well,
I'll put a bow on it. When we went back, who said who'd y'all have to win it all? Like at the beginning, I had the Celtics.
I think I probably had the Grizzlies.
Yeah, Tuna had the Grizzlies for sure.
I think we all may have had half of us probably had the Celtics. Who knows?
People are saying.
I think some of us may have had Denver.
That Michael Finley broke Luka Doncic. After the Western Conference Finals, when they were celebrating with beer in the locker room, and Michael Finley grabbed the beer from him. And
Wisconsin Michael Finley from back in the day?
Yes, he's like a vice president of basketball operations for Dallas. And since he took that beer from Luka, Luka did not play well.
No.
Let the man have his beer. Have they never watched a celebration in any other sport where they're drinking and dumping champagne all over everybody?
I don't know. No.
Is there drinking rule in Dallas?
Was that what did he just say, all right, from this point forward, I refuse to play 1% of defense for the rest of this series?
Yes, let me have my
beer. Series. Because, I mean, this isn't breaking any new ground. Offensively, we all like to watch him play his creativity around the bucket and all that stuff. But he refuses to guard anybody. He refuses to guard anybody.
He needs to lose 15. He needs to lose 15 pounds.
It's crazy.
He'll be a different player if he loses 15, 20 pounds.
Like, he doesn't need to be a good defensive player. Nobody's asking. All they're asking, just guard somebody.
Yeah.
Just pretend to guard somebody. He just doesn't do it. And until he does that, I'm afraid this is their probably the ceiling that this team is going to
have.
Seems
like a long NBA season, and I love the NBA, but I'm glad it's over.
Well, if you think about it, Joker doesn't do that for Denver either. He doesn't play any defense at all.
No.
I think Joker makes Luka look like Gary Payton. I really do.
Called Joker the Mitten.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, so season's over. It looks like
Edmonton's up.
Hey, we have the Stanley Cup going on right now. We have, of course, as we talked about, Jack Nicklaus was there banging on the Florida Panthers drum in an elimination game. Again, this has not been a super compelling series, as I think Tuna kind of alluded to the fact that he thought it was going to go this way. Tuna, has it gone the way that you thought it would?
Except for Tkachuk not starting the game.
Well,
everything's going his way.
He did play a majority of the game. But last game up in Edmonton, I think the Panthers just kind of meld that in. Bobrovsky got pulled off the ice, the start of the third period?
Yeah.
Gave up 8 goals.
Yeah.
It was a shit show up there, say the least. But do you think they just really didn't want to celebrate a Stanley Cup championship in Edmonton?
I think,
where do you go to celebrate after, like, the oil
fields?
That's
what I think Boston did too.
And like,
I mean,
they just wanted to get back home. It's a dangerous game to play in hockey, because in hockey they actually can. It has happened before.
It is.
Where teams come back
but
3 games down.
But you know, athletes, that when you feel like you have the better team, it's hard to not say, let's win it.
Let's
home.
Go on and win. But I don't know, man. I think you get the win where you can get it. You don't mess around. But we did have a nice Connor McDavid showing. He played phenomenal in that last game Saturday night. But I don't know. I think the Panthers are going to close it out tonight or
there
the
hasn't
next game.
Been much intrigue, to be honest with you. And I've been watching it.
No, it really hasn't. That, I mean, 8 goals in one game was pretty impressive. But yeah, like I said, I think – I mean, we know that that wasn't the same Bobrovsky that we've seen the entire time.
No, so and it was almost just like
– he didn't
like,
want to be on the ice there.
This isn't your this isn't your night. We'll get him next game. No big deal. Mm-hmm. And we know that we're the more physical and
Grandma's
probably
banging on the glass.
Probably.
That's I do love the kid that sits behind the Florida bench that flexes and all that all game. He's kind of funny.
I will ask you this, too.
Reminds me of Pat Kelsey's kid. What?
I will ask you this. If Edmonton were to come back and win the Stanley Cup, what's the flashing girl going to do for an encore?
I don't know. Hopefully marry me, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But
what's her name?
Oh, hell, who knows?
I don't know. She was just on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast.
I think her name's
talking.
Dixie.
I wish it was Dixie, but I don't think people in Canada name their kids
she
Dixie.
She didn't work at Hooters.
It's probably like Earl or something
probably
like that.
Not.
Like,
did your boys sit with her during the game the other night?
R.A., I think so. But it was like they got their ass kicked. It was the first game back up in Edmonton, so it wasn't. I don't know. I haven't listened to Spittin' Chicklets since that happened. I got to find out. But R.A. may have.
I'm kind of glad that we don't have to talk about hockey anymore.
Yeah, it's almost over.
So
hockey and the NBA are bon voyage, baby.
So you're glad the NBA's done. You don't want to talk about hockey anymore. What's next on your checklist? I mean, you're going to go on a deep dive about the disappointing end of the
Speaking of deep dive, have you guys been watching any of the Olympic qualifying?
Of course I have.
What are they doing up at Lucas Oil?
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't that awesome? It's actually on right now.
Yeah.
I
watched that or the swimming instead of the NBA finals last night because it was so bad to watch. So I was like, I'm going to watch something competitive.
You actually can
bet on it.
I actually did that too.
It's rough because the favorites are big time favorites and they always win.
Right.
Like, unless you're going to bet on a minus 600 guy, like, and you just want to go for the second shot, like, and hope for an upset, you're going to lose every time.
I had no idea that you could bet on it.
I found it.
But
degenerate.
Well, before we get into what's going to take up our whole month, which is soccer, we might as well get into baseball real quick.
Okay.
Because I do feel like college baseball has been,
it's been the best,
unbelievable right now. We got to jump into it. That's why I'm glad the NBA and hockey's pretty much over. We do have some major soccer that we're getting ready to nuts and bolts into. But, Tuna, get us started. Jody, Travis, get us started on some of this baseball. And I am talking, you know, y'all got me into it big time. These games have been unbelievable.
I'm telling you, the best thing that happened around here was Kentucky making the College World Series, because I feel like as a state, everybody's tuned in now. And, like, they see the College World Series for what it is and how awesome an event it was, where, like, a lot of times people would just casually watch and so on. But when you got a team involved, you're locked in to every game, like, watching them all. And what, it started out with the first three games being walk-offs, right? First four games were walk-offs.
And, you find out, like, when you watch baseball, like, Major League Baseball, you find out just how good they really are.
It's a big difference.
Because there are so many mistakes that are made, and not a whole lot of mistakes as far as errors and things like that, but it's just base running and
the base
throws
running is completely
and things
different.
Like that. It's just way more brings you down to earth to, like, you know, watching Babe Ruth in your neighborhood little league area. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you, when you see a dominant pitcher at the college level, it's fun to
watch.
Like for example, the kid that came out of the bullpen for Florida yesterday against NC State, that Nally kid, he had a rise to his fastball, and he was just unhittable. Like, nobody could touch that kid.
Kinda
he won
like
that game
for A&M yesterday.
But you see these, like, super athlete or superstars at the college level, and you just know how much better they are than everybody else on the field. Like, Jack Caglione, for as much as I dislike that guy,
right?
you can't throw to him.
No,
right
he
now.
Can make it happen.
It's like Barry Bonds when he was, you know.
Is he a better hitter than a pitcher?
Well, yeah, definitely. Okay. He's not going to pitch in the majors. Okay. I don't think he'll. Okay. Like, you can't let him pitch. Like,
right.
Yeah, he's too good of a hitter. And I don't know if he will be at the major league level, but at some point he probably will.
So who's the hottest team right now? Are you going to say Tennessee?
Tennessee's the hottest team right now, but I think Florida State's right there with them.
Okay,
agree. Florida State easily had Tennessee beat until that last minute. That was an 11-10
game was insane.
Where bats were just lighting it up. And Tennessee knocked out North Carolina earlier today.
Right.
So, or not Tennessee, Florida State.
Florida State.
So now Florida State has another showdown rematch with Tennessee. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I think Kentucky, man. I know Texas A&M's a hot team. They pitched lights out last night. I think Kentucky, their big thing, they have to get runners on base. Once they get runners on base, their whole shtick is keeping that pitcher worked up. We're like, we're going to make them make mistakes on the defensive end.
I have a question.
What's that? Why they're hitting a 200 hitter in the three hole?
No.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, two of their best batters that are going to go on to do great things have not even had a hit in Omaha. We talked about that. Mm. But I was talking to one of our big baseball UK fans, Tom, watching the game with him, and he tends to disagree. I know that UK plays aggressive, mm-hmm. and the base running and the players, it's all on them. Like the coaches said it. We don't do anything. They know what to do, when
absolutely.
To do it. We
they're
want them to
all
do
all upperclassmen.
It. But have you questioned a couple, for instance, the bunt yesterday, the bunt where there's a guy on, you know what I'm talking about.
I am. I'm with you.
Do you try to, I don't know, that's a questionable either way.
This
do you bunt or do you go for the hit?
I'm going for the hit there.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Right.
Kentucky's what, 46-15 on the season. They've been doing this all year.
Right.
It's obviously working.
You can't step
they've
away
got a
from
share
it.
Of the SEC championship. Right. They're in the College World Series for the first time ever. So, with baseball, you have enough of a body of work to find out what works long-term and what doesn't. And this obviously seems to work for them, so we can't question
right.
anything that they're doing.
I gotcha.
You can't get to the College World Series and then change it.
Right.
And then pull back.
It looked like, when I looked at the coach, mm-hmm. the manager, after that play, he looked down and you could look at him and he was kind of like,
I think he. There's
I don't
times
know if we should have done that.
I think Mingione would want to step in a lot and be like, guys, I want to coach you. You can't do that right now.
Right, but he.
But he doesn't want to.
Not what
he's
does.
Like. I'm going to step back. I'm going to let these kids do
right.
it. They know what it needs to happen. And I like Mingione. I like his coaching style. I like the way they do it. I love the fact when they're on base, they're going like
yeah.
every freaking yeah. time. And they're yeah. we're going to make you make a mistake. You're going to overthrow a ball. Or you're going to. How many times did that happen in that NC State game?
Yeah.
The first game.
No,
like
it did.
The pitchers were balking. They were screwing up left and right. I mean, that one guy stepped off the mound, acted like he was going to throw it, pulled back, and then, like, lobbed it right into left field for no reason.
The NC State player?
Yeah. The pitcher. I'm like, what are you doing, kid?
Well, if you look at last night's game, it was their starting pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers in all of college baseball. You know, coming into that game, he was 8-1. He threw lights out. We were no hit through, I think, 7 innings last night. So it has nothing to do, I think, with necessarily the way we played else, other than we couldn't hit last night. Because our defense, and I said it on a text last night, our shortstop, second baseman, that's the best in the business in college baseball. They have 6 errors combined for the entire season.
Yeah.
And I think the next closest middle infield is like 21 or 20 errors between two of them.
Well, that pitcher for A&M was he was tough.
That's
and,
the thing about the College World Series is you're facing like excellent pitching, like
right.
the entire time. You're not getting some freshman just for playing time. You know what I mean? You're not getting a fill in guy
yeah.
just to eat innings. Everybody that's coming in is getting overworked, and they're
and now it's going to get real crazy because now you've got games postponed because of weather. And now they're going to be playing double headers, which they were anyways. I get it. But it's going to get really, really rowdy now, dude. I mean, if people weren't on college baseball, in the past, they damn well are now, I think, really.
I'd love for
and
this
it's perfect
to...
that the NBA Finals and the hockey has not been that exciting. It's it's going to be pretty crazy.
Tuna, who you got in the 800 men's free?
Mark Spitz.
I don't know. Does Pat Forty got a kid out there?
Look at the size of that pool. Jesus.
Well, you do know where this is, right?
Yeah,
Fred? This is,
yeah, Lucas Oil.
Yeah. I mean, it really is like, it's just impressive. It's fun to watch on TV because it looks so cool on
TV. Yeah, I want to bring my beach toys. I mean, I'm ready to.
watch the video of them building that
thing.
There
are only three people out there?
But it really is going to be fun to watch these qualifiers for the Olympics.
Oh, and, yeah. We'll get into that later.
There's the bell. Ding-a-ling.
I want to finish talking about the College World Series, though. So tomorrow, because of like what Fred said, they had some terrible weather blowing in tonight. Kentucky was supposed to play tonight. It's been postponed till what, 11 a.m. tomorrow?
Go ahead.
Yes.
And then what does it look like? What's the lineup like tomorrow then with that?
So Kentucky will play at 11 o'clock against Florida. And then at 3 o'clock, we've got Tennessee and Florida State.
Which I can't wait to see.
That's going to be must-see TV.
Yeah.
And then at 7 o'clock, you have Texas A&M and the winner of the Kentucky-Florida game.
Okay. So if Kentucky wins tomorrow morning, they'll play at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yes. And if they beat Texas A&M tomorrow night, then they will play again Thursday for an elimination game.
Okay.
Because they'd have to beat Texas A&M twice, just like Florida State will have to beat Tennessee twice.
Right.
And then the winner of those two will play a best-of-three series this weekend.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well,
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. And as you said, or as Fred and you both have said, even if you're not into, if it like you think, well, college baseball's not that, you know, it's not my thing or whatever, give it a chance. Watch some of these
games.
Dude,
it's a fast game, too. It goes faster than a major league game.
And,
you know, unless it's a marathon.
It doesn't go faster than a major league game. Like a college game will last 5 hours.
It seems like it is going faster.
The Tennessee Florida State game lasted what? Every bit of.
Oh, no. The Tennessee game did for sure. That's what I was saying. But
with the pitch clock and major league baseball, like those games are over with in 2.5 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Major league flies by.
I don't know. Maybe it's the way I'm watching.
College, man, they will last forever.
But every. Like every pitch is like live and die.
That's what I'm
saying. Mean,
like I can sit there, a 5 hour game like, will go by, and I feel like it only took an hour because you're stressing and pacing the entire
time. We had
game.
Talked about
don't stress out, Tuna.
I can't help it, buddy.
We had talked about the last week. We talked about that Florida Clemson game
Tuna help
that us. Lasted. God knows how long that game lasted.
What was that?
But I was physically tired at the end of that game from sitting and watching it on my couch. And getting up and down and up and down and oh here they get it. Now it's going to be over and then it wasn't over and then
you had a whole pile of sunflower seeds and some tobacco spit.
But the important part, like we said about the College World Series, is the Rocco's Bar Jell-O Shot.
Jell-O
Challenge.
Shot, yeah. Who's so winning? Who is up in the Jell-O
now,
shots?
Now, before we get an update, last week we had discussed this. We all had our predictions on who was going, and we all felt fairly comfortable, I think, that Kentucky was going to have a really good showing.
Yeah.
The first update that I saw that I think Tuna shared on our text thread was that of all teams, North Carolina was leading.
Tar Heels don't do shots.
And so now I'm curious, Tuna, where, now that we're into the, and boy, I bet tonight with the rain delay and everybody being stuck
everybody inside, shooting shooters.
I want to know how many shots they sell tonight. But what's the latest update, Tuna?
Well, it's like I told you with North Carolina. I think because they leveled out after that initial ordeal, and I said it was one rich dude that went in there and just bought like 5,000 shots and walked out. Yeah. And then he probably threw them away,
like Michael
Jordan, gave them to homeless people or something, whatever rich people do. And
we're giving Jell-O shots to the homeless.
That's, I mean,
jeez,
that's what happens.
You know, though. I think it was Tyler.
Chapel Hill's a weird place.
Tyler Charlie. Hansborough went in there and bought some
yeah,
shots.
It was
for everybody.
It was something weird. And but right now, I think the biggest surprise that I'm seeing, because I've always considered this school a weird cult, is Texas A&M.
Yeah,
Texas A&M's coming in heavy with 8,835.
Wow.
Is
Johnny Football in there?
I didn't even think they drank down there. Like, I don't know.
I mean, if Johnny Football's in there drinking, then look out, because he's got some buddies, I'm sure, that are a little
yeah,
rowdy.
That's true.
We do not condone nor make fun of people that are struggling with alcohol addiction on this show.
Johnny Football? Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was...
He did a documentary. He was talking about
partying.
Yeah, he's partying. Oh, okay. He was partying on that documentary. But anyway,
I didn't know that. I didn't know what Johnny Football's up to.
I don't think he knows what he's up to. But Tennessee is leading right now with 90. They're almost at 10,000. Tennessee and which I figured they'd come strong.
I think the Cats are in there at third place right now.
Cats are, yes, they're at third place.
That's part of that Mingione group, though.
Florida State surprises me about how low they are.
Yeah.
So, like, they're barely over 4,000.
They like crab legs.
I really thought Florida State would have came, like, to party more. I don't know.
They like crab legs. Huh?
Yeah, they do. And free Dr. Pepper from the Burger King.
That's right. So they're still... on a downward spiral from their football.
Their football was up.
Yeah. Although they're up now. They're getting treated like kings.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how they're getting ranked up that high. But anyway,
it looks like Tennessee's going to walk away with the Rocco's
Challenge. Tennessee's going to walk away with it. And I can see old Smokey coming in there and doing something like that. I can see Phil Fulmer and his buddies in there. Peyton Manning, keep naming them. I mean, you can just continue on.
I just want to say this for Kentucky's game getting rained out. 7 hours ago, Kentucky was right at 6,000. 40 minutes ago, only 200 more shots have been sold.
Lame.
That is weak, man. What are you guys doing?
What's that? I mean, lame. Everybody's at,
what are they doing? It was like, hanging out in the
Applebee's.
I was gonna say they're hanging out
in the 2-for-1.
They love Applebee's, man.
Dude, I can just see them all now, like sitting in the indoor pool at the Comfort Inn with their cooler full of Bud Light.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hey, we're gonna get up tomorrow and get after it.
Yeah, Miller High Life.
Playing hillbilly horseshoes. Yeah,
oh no, they're not in the pool, Travis. They're in the hot tub, the indoor packed stinky hot tub.
I will say. Kentucky does have a fan that I find almost maybe more obnoxious than the Whistler. I call her the baseball school woo girl.
That's a long name.
What? Where are you going?
The woo girl.
She was wearing a white shirt that said baseball school on it and like this white skirt, and you could hear her going, woo, nonstop.
Woo girl!
When nothing was even happening. Like, I understand getting excited when there's, like, a big play happening or something, but guys were just standing around.
And you,
like,
hated,
woo!
You hated looking at her, didn't you?
Dude, she was a little rough, buddy.
Maybe she's doing some Jell-O shots.
I don't
right
know.
Now.
Yeah, I think she brings her own fireball everywhere she goes, dude. That's I don't know. She looks like a lover boy kind of girl. Maybe she's pounding lover boys down there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's actually a Cali drink.
Yeah, so we've got the Vandy Whistler and the UK Woo Girl.
All right. So, I'm amped. Let's get into some soccer, Travis. I can't hold back any longer.
I'm ready.
Tuna's pumped.
Euros 2024 are well underway. We had one of the biggest upsets, honestly, in the history of the tournament yesterday. And you know, things are, we've obviously still, they're in the group stages right now. Things will shake out, the best teams.
I think that's some of the best parts.
More than likely, end up advancing. But Fred, this is your time. This is your deal. The floor is yours. Euros.
All right, you here we go, guys. Right there? It is now soccer time is among us. Every 2 years, we have two great tournaments in Europe and one in South America. One is called the Euro Cup. One is called the Copa America. In the Euro Cup, if you know this, you know your European countries. But, you know, let's go down the list. Tuna, would you say that the best team, the number one ranked team in Europe right now would be?
Germany.
Germany. I think that it is France. Italy did not make the World Cup last year. They're down a little bit. So France and Germany.
Didn't Italy get beat?
Are looking at the, no.
Okay.
They have not gotten beat yet. But Italy and France and Germany are definitely the two favorites. As Travis said, Belgium has already went down to Slovakia. I do not like any of the IA teams. So if you go down the line to IA, Slovakia, Czechoslovakia, Serbia, I do not pull for those teams. That's just me.
And no. You can't just say something as ridiculous as that.
I
expect not to get any pushback on that. Like, I don't like IA. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Well,
I'm fascinated
they
by
don't,
this.
It's kind of funny. Romania, I've never pulled for
Austria.
Those teams. Austria. I don't know. There's not many high-profile players that play with those teams.
Hey, Fred.
And I just don't keep up with
them. What's the proper South American spelling of Brazil?
Brazil.
Brasilia.
Brasilia.
That's the proper. So
is Argentina an I?
No,
that's
not.
Just a,
it's an N-A.
That's just N-A. Me. I go against those teams. That's just me. I've always done that. I like Sweden.
Makes perfect sense to me.
But I've always just kind of pulled that. Those are
like
just
Sweden.
Kind of
E-N
like.
I know all that. He's like, but I like Sweden.
And yeah, well, that's different.
Oh my
but,
God.
But all these teams, yeah, I know it's going to drive y'all crazy. But that's how I've always been. Nothing personal against anyone or any country. But
what about Italia?
It's Italy. but Germany, you got the Netherlands that are really coming on strong. You've got teams like Spain, who is my country, that is going to be doing well. You've also got all kinds of just fantastic European teams out there that are battling for this Euro Cup. Then you've got the Copa America. You've got Brazil. You've got Tuna's favorite team, Peru. You've got, and we'll
Love
get into
Peru.
This. You know, you've got the USA. You've got Jamaica, Canada. We're going into Argentina, Chile.
Kenya.
Bolivia, but Colombia, Ecuador.
Bolivia.
I'm going to go ahead and say right now that Brazil is the favorite. I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Brazil's the favorite for the Copa America. I'm going to say that Argentina is right there with them. I'm going to go down to Ecuador and Colombia are
Colombia.
Right there. I'm talking, and we've got some players for Colombia, Ecuador.
Hey, Colombia's IA.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
Nah, yeah, well, okay. You got me now.
Victory.
But,
I knew I could find one.
Yeah, dang it. Albania. Georgia. I hate those dogs. Aye, 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 aye. But no, seriously, there are some great guys, people, if you are going to watch some great tournaments, like we're in the group stages, everyone, if you watch soccer enough, you know how these tournaments go. It's the best of the best playing in them. The Euro is all during the day, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 2:30 on Fox, on Fox Sports Net 2. Then you're gonna have the Copa America at night, which is being hosted by the United States, by the way, in a city near you, and those will be night games. So it is going to be fantastic when you're like, what are we going to watch? The Blue Jays and the A's? No, you're going to watch soccer at its best. Is there flopping? Yes. But I am going to say,
not in the Copa as much.
But in the games that I've already seen, I've said it once, I've said it twice, I've said it three times. Don't forget, the group stages are not sudden death. That game is over and it goes by points. Once you get out of the group, then it goes into sudden death and overtime and shootouts, which if anyone's listened to this show long enough, you know we will be having a shootout conversation.
Just a quick word to the wise. If you're going to gamble on soccer, understand beforehand that it is final time score only. You will get screwed on that.
This is a very important thing.
Very true.
That, Tuna, please expound on that.
Explain that.
Because I think a lot of people, and because quite frankly, when sports wagering became legal where I could do it on my phone, I was not necessarily aware of how that worked several years ago. And you're right. You can get totally...
Yes.
Tricked by that.
It's not just a flat out winner. It's you have to have the lead and win in the final 90 minutes, final time. No extra time, no playoff, no
this
kickoff.
This is after the group stages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, even in the group stages.
No. This is.
Yeah, period.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes without saying because.
Well, I mean, you could score in extra time with like 5 minutes of extra time and lose that bet.
No, well, the group stages, there is no extra time.
No. Wait a minute. So,
yes, 90 minutes. It has to be done in 90 minutes. So, like.
So, you're telling. No, see, I'm not even aware of this.
Oh, yeah.
So, you're telling me that in that Portugal game today, they scored in 90 plus two.
Oh, yeah. That you would have lost because it would have been a tie. In final time.
So, yeah, they're considering injury time.
Yeah.
Injury time.
Any extra time. Like, they're not. Once the clock hits 90, if your team is not up by one goal, you will lose that bet.
I thought it was 90 minutes plus
extra time.
No, if you look at it'll all say final time, which would be – the 90 minutes.
And then when it gets out of the group stage, it even gets crazier because then you have overtime.
Well, but then you can
death,
no,
shootout.
you can win in that, right? Like if you bet on a team to win and they win in a shootout, then you would win that one, correct?
Well, no, because you are that's
final time.
That's where I got confused before was that they won. Well, no, they didn't win.
Yeah.
In regular time, they won in overtime or in.
Oh, I'm sure it even gets crazier when there's a shootout and you have bet goal differential.
And
I don't even know how that works.
Like even friendlies or something.
Or
if you're going to bet on a friendly,
four penalty kicks to two. I don't know how that even gets added in. But we are definitely pulling for the U.S. Good point on the betting, Tuna, big time. But we're definitely pulling for the U.S. in the Copa America. You know, they came out and Colombia dusted them 5-1 in some preliminary games. And then they came out and tied Brazil. I think we've come to the conclusion that the USA, you never know what the hell's going to happen, quite frankly. At least I don't. But I can assure you this, and this is what I was getting at. I've said it once, twice, three times. It has still yet to happen, and maybe it's happened once or twice, but if you watch these games and you're seeing, you are seeing world class quality. And what I mean by that is, I can't stress enough that you have literally less than 1 second in the penalty box to score a goal. You can either do it or you can't. The USA, in order for them to get through to this Copa America, has to be able to one touch the ball. And what I mean by that is a deflection, whatever. If a ball comes in, you head it in. That's a one touch. I've yet to see America throughout the years be able to one touch anything on the ground that wasn't in a game that mattered. So I will be watching extremely hard to see if we have any players that have enough world-class quality to be able to one touch a ball in and score more than one goal
now,
a game.
To be fair, I mean, I think recency bias does play a part in that because, I mean, you did have Landon Donovan, you had Deuce, you had Jozy Altidore.
Altidore has never one touched a goal, in my opinion.
Well, except for the very first goal.
Okay, a header, whatever. Dude, you guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. I've watched it already in the Euro Cup. Goals that are unbelievable, that are literally one-touch goals coming in, and I have yet to see a USA player be able to do it the right way. If they can do it, and go ahead and I'll be watching, and everyone be watching, and prove me wrong. But until the USA has someone that can do that, we're not going to win a tournament that matters. So let's see what happens. I hope we can raise the bar. It is time. We've heard enough about the national team, this, that, and the other, being great. We got Pulisic. Let's try to do something here and win versus some quality competition like Brazil, like Colombia, like Argentina. Let's see what we can do. We have our coach back.
Peru.
But that's really what the storyline for me. We are at home in the United States playing these games.
If the United States can beat Peru, we can just take everything that Fred just said, take it completely off the table, and move the United States to the favorite in the upcoming World Cup. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's the way I see it.
We're not the favorite at all. I have us fifth. I have a fit Palacios place for Colombia.
Bert Lundquist says Palacios.
But I want you all to also look at some great players. There's a lot of players out there that are 15, 16 years old.
17 was the youngest I've seen.
That are making millions.
Of what you said earlier.
That are making more than any Major League Baseball player. I'm going to tell you right now.
Shohei?
Lamine Yamal is a name that you need to remember for Spain. There are a couple guys from Brazil and Ecuador that are both 16 and 17. Keep an eye on them. You'll find out who they are.
You sent me an article earlier that said
that had some
had
of
the youngest
players.
And
yeah.
Not one of them is younger than 17.
Yeah. Well, 17's young.
Well, I agree, but 16's younger.
You can watch Porky's. If you're 17 and older, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I think
I watched it when I was like 12. So
you better not have.
Yeah. Now I know why they call it meat.
But guys, you know me. I am fired up about these games. On during the day, at night, I'm pumped. Tuna. Hey, when are we gonna pick who's gonna win? After the group stage?
After the group stage.
Okay,
I think.
Once we know who we'll determine who we're going with.
And guys, before we get any further, we just did have a breaking news story that just came over the wire.
God,
um, the great Willie Mays has passed away.
Oh, wow.
The Say Hey Kid.
At the age of 93, I believe they said.
93.
Man, 93.
Obviously one of the great, not only baseball players of all times, but one of the iconic American athletes of all times. Also has one of the most iconic plays in the history of American sports. Anybody that knows anything about baseball, you say the Willie Mays catch. We all know what you're talking about. When the kid for Clemson made that mm-hmm. catch last weekend, and they kept relating it back to Willie Mays catching the over-the-shoulder catch.
And Willie Mays Hayes doing it in Major League. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't ever
well,
freaking
I think
do
Scott
it again.
Here said he was supposed to be at what game?
He was supposed to be like the highlight at the Rickwood game in Birmingham between the Giants and the Cardinals.
Oh, I gotcha.
The Negro League.
Yeah. The representation of the, yeah. And, you know, what's funny is we just recently saw a lot of film of that catch.
Yeah, that's what I just said on the
well,
Clemson
oh,
game.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I'm yeah. sorry. In yeah. the Clemson game, yeah. But, man, tell you what.
Speaking of the Negro League, they actually did just make it where their stats are part of Major League Baseball
yes.
now. So
and
that's
– it's about time.
That's long past. Yeah.
That's been 70 years in the making. Mm-hmm. That should have been done. Obviously.
I don't know if Rob Manfred had anything to do with it, but if he did, that was probably the best thing that he's ever done
yeah.
in the sport. Because
and that was, man, Giants, that's your – that Willie Mays, I know him, and Willie McCovey, and those guys had some battles against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Big time.
But I thought that we should at least mention that because the news literally just broke probably 10 or 15 minutes ago.
I'm going to take a guess that he's fifth in home runs. I'm going to take a guess.
Looks like something that Whiteboard Jody ought to be able to find out for us pretty quickly.
Still fifth in home runs all time.
That I have no idea.
Which says a lot, and not to mention how many gold gloves he had in the outfield. And one of the probably, if you talk to other baseballers.
He is sixth.
Sixth, okay.
Sixth.
That was
Alex Rodriguez and Albert Pujols are just over him, which are two names that I did not expect to be up there, but I guess when
right.
you drag them out for a
but
while.
But like I said before, it's not just what, I mean, none of us were alive when Willie Mays played baseball, but
no.
just like Mickey Mantle or like, he's one of those names. Mickey Mantle,
yeah,
Babe
sure.
Ruth,
Willie Mays,
Lou Gehrig, you know, Willie Mays. It's those guys that you still.
I have a baseball
no,
card
it's
of Willie
iconic,
Mays.
You know,
I'm
he's
proud to
figure.
Say that I have a baseball card of him.
Guess who's number eight on the all-time home run list? Just to throw a name
Jim
out there.
Jim Tomei.
Did you guys know that beforehand?
I'm pretty good on that list,
that was
dog.
Pretty good, dude, because I never would have guessed Jim
Jody
Tomei.
Got that.
You know who's seven?
Yeah, I got it right here. Ken Griffey Jr.
I got a little story about – hold
so
on real quick.
So that's saying something. Willie Mays is still up there at the top, one of the all-time great guys, too.
Well, Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth are both – second and third, but we all know they were juicing, so I don't know if those even count.
Yeah. Babe Ruth was juicing on whiskey and
hot
dogs.
He was juiced up, that's for sure.
If you're a baseball fan, I've been to it was AT&T, now it's Oracle out in San Francisco where the Giants play. There's many things around the ballpark that they that it's for Willie Mays. They have 24 palm trees out front in one corner. They have a sign that has 24 characters in it, and there's a section of the wall in the outfield. It's 24 feet tall.
Cool.
There's several other things, but I did a tour out there one year, and that whole ballpark is in remembrance of now Willie Mays Hayes.
Willie Mays Hayes.
I had to throw that in there.
You may run like Hayes, but you hit like shit. In all seriousness, super sky point to the great Willie Mays, one of the icons of modern America sports. With that being said, we're getting around that time. We're about to turn the lights up high in the downstairs pub, and I'm going to call last call, and I'm going to send it first to Tuna. Last call.
All right. There's something I wanted to ask you guys. I don't know if you guys do or not.
No.
Do you guys ever play video games?
Sure. I play with my son sometimes.
Okay, I'm not a video gamer at all. I don't. I think I had a PlayStation, did nothing but collect dust for a while. The last time I played video games was with Bama J, our mutual friend.
Atari?
No, it was PlayStation 2, and it was a college football NCAA
video
game by EA Sports.
Oh, yeah.
When they quit making that, I never played a video game again.
And they quit making it like over a decade ago.
Yes.
Right.
2014 was the last time that they made that game. Well, we are a month away from it coming out. So,
Colin has already pre-ordered it.
Okay.
He is super excited.
I have to go buy a console, and apparently it's like $500.
I do too.
So I need to start winning some of these Olympic swimming bets. And but I guess it's like $500 to get, but the day that it comes out, I will get it. And I think it'd be fun if we could play a little bit against each other online. So.
I am absolutely planning on getting a console.
Okay.
Not just for that. I have discovered the fact that you can run Indianapolis on one of these games if you have the right. And I'm going to get the wheel and the pedals and the whole deal. Like, I'll probably only ever have two games.
Yep.
I'll have whatever racing game that is, and then I will have the NCAA.
I used to have a golf game that was a lot of fun.
That's what I play.
Yeah.
Golf and soccer.
The last golf game I got, I bought, it was PGA Tour, because they finally put Augusta in where you could play the Masters.
I'm surprised Augusta let them do that.
It was a big deal.
I bet they paid a lot for that.
It was a big deal.
What game is that? Because I thought they weren't allowing
that. No, that was Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2013, I believe. It was called Road to the Masters.
Okay.
In case you didn't know, Tuna, Freddie and Joe and Sparky over here are pretty damn good Golden Tee players.
Okay.
Around the block. I've been known to shoot 28 under. Jody's been known
I don't
to
do cons. I haven't done console games since.
Jody, yeah.
No,
it's,
I'm talking
I mean,
about,
it's been years
I'm talking about Golden Tees in a restaurant or a bar.
But
I play spades on my phone when I'm bored waiting for something. Yeah.
Freddie, they released a trailer for this game, by the way, and I don't know if you guys have watched it yet.
I have watched it.
But, like, it's – I don't think I've been pumped for a video game since I was, like, 12 years old.
Yeah.
Like
we'll never see Tuna again.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be talking shit to 12-year-old kids while I'm just
he's gonna
scoring
be,
on
he's
left
gonna
and
be
right.
Tuna no, helper playing
I gotta,
video games.
Really quick, I got a super funny story about that. I had gotten a I had the old – like, the, an original Xbox – and I had that college football game, and I felt I was pretty good at it. And I got a headset so that I could play Colin, and we could talk back and forth. And one night, I was playing, you know, just a random like online game or whatever. And I don't know, you know, I'm playing some guy Charlie 15 or whatever, and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. And this, he runs the opening kickoff back. And I'm like, nice job. And all of a sudden, this kid couldn't have been 12 years old.
They're real shitheads,
this
man.
This voice comes out and he goes, you suck and I'm going to kick your ass. And I went, I'm turning this off.
Dude, teenage kids scare the shit out of me, man.
My son whoops my ass every time I play.
But anyway, yes.
One more thing to add on there. I don't know if you guys are a fan of Hard Knocks at all, but I guess the preseason they announced that they're going to be doing on the Chicago Bears this year.
Yep.
And they also announced,
I think it's going to be much improved.
The past couple years, they've done an in-season Hard Knocks, and I believe they've done Arizona and
they did the Colts. Yeah.
And I think this year they're doing an entire division, the AFC
North. So, yes, it is the AFC North this year, and it'll be the first time that they've ever done anything like that. And I know that holds a particular interest for at least one person in this room to see how the inevitable, I mean, in my opinion, the inevitable collapse of the Bengals will be in full HD glory.
Well, I'm glad y'all finally got to me. My drink's getting warm at happy hour over here. But I drink kerosene. Bengals fans drink kerosene. We don't drink beer until game time in the jungle. But I can't wait to watch that. I'm pumped about that division because I do think that that is a crazy division. Ravens, Bengals, the Browns, there's a whole, like you said, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in that division right now. So I'm
and Pittsburgh, as Tuna was alluding to, Pittsburgh is
plus they just signed Tomlin again. A deal that is definitely worth
2027. I think that's what it goes
which
to.
Y'all know how much I love Tom. I'm thinking about getting some sort of Pittsburgh jersey that just says Tomlin on the back, just because I love that freaking guy. But
what do you think would happen if you rolled into Cincinnati?
I would never do that. I might get it on the back of my Willie Stargell baseball jersey or something. My Tony Pena. Is this happy hour over to me?
Yeah, last call, Fred.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you right now. Quick thing, Ohio Derby. Catching Freedom's running, and I think he's going to finally win a race. he is going against a couple decent horses, but Uncle Heavy is one of them. And I'm going to tell you, Catching Freedom wins the Ohio Derby. I'm going after finally getting his win after he's ran in a couple tough races.
Okay.
And then if I really have to talk about it, I want to tell San Antonio, the town of San Antonio, that along with Charles Barkley, you all are a bunch of losers. Your whole town is a bunch of losers. Your football team sucks. And the mere fact that somehow you all found a way to beat my St. Louis Battlehawks.
I was just about to say, what does that say for the Battlehawks?
In the division, and then you... Well, it was a buzzsaw. I don't know what happened. Maybe McCarron had a party the night before. But for you all to get your asses spanked by Wade Phillips and the freaking Birmingham... What is it, Steel?
Stallions.
Stallions!
The iron was
and matter of fact,
that was
I'm
a
gonna,
Birmingham iron.
Yeah, but I
good for Wade
to get
Phillips,
shut out
way.
Like that in the dome with nobody there is embarrassing. But I will say this: kudos to the Birmingham Stone. They have three.
That's the Stone.
Birmingham.
Go Stones.
Birmingham. What are they called? Stallions. I never heard no Stallions in Birmingham, but congratulations. There's a lot of steel there, though. But I have congratulations. That's three championships in Birmingham, and they now own the UFL. I will say that.
Good for them.
So on to next year. I have my nest ready and waiting. Ka-ka.
Jody, last call.
I'm just going to talk about the Cats. We play at 11 tomorrow, as Tuna said earlier. It comes down to pitching now. That's why you want to win those first two games especially. And, you know, we played last night. We used a few pitchers. We got to play tomorrow at 11. If we win, we play tomorrow night. And then turn around, I think, play again the next day if we get that far. It's a chess match at this point. And see what our pitching coach and our head coach can do with our pitchers. I think our other fielders are going to play well. They're going to be pumped and excited. But go Cats.
Well, oh, I did want to mention Colin, excuse me, did send me a couple of picks that he had. Obviously, we didn't get to this week's golf tournament, which really, why would we? But Colin does have Sam Burns to win the Travelers this weekend.
He shot a 67 Sunday. Came
he
out
is
of nowhere.
Taking the Fever to cover 4.5 against whoever they might be playing in the next game. And he has, once again,
the Reds.
He has the Reds to sweep the Red Sox this weekend.
I love that. Hey, UK Bill will not like that one. He is a Red Sox fan.
When it's about the Fever, they actually play the Chicago Sky again this weekend.
Oh,
that's
beautiful.
That's why he did that.
That'll be that should be a fun game to watch.
Watch soccer, people. Let's get it on.
Want to thank everybody for listening. Want to thank you guys for being here tonight. As always, for Whiteboard Jody, the big fella of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, the guy who turned Freddie on to being a Bama fan, Burchek.
Woo!
And the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody. We'll be right back.